I'm going to interview Ezekiel Dubois and some of his music's on the internet, and he had three rapture dreams, and he's coming from a spiritual religious background that the rapture really wasn't taught or discussed. So these dreams were quite an eye-opener for him. And he's going to tell us about them. So tell me about the first dream. You had a dream that shook you.
Yeah, it kind of woke me up, so to speak.
Yeah, and, it shook me too, but I'm going to wait for you to share your experience before I tell about mine.
In the dream, there was a small group of us, and somehow we just knew that the Lord was coming back now, like soon, like immediately. And we couldn't wait. We just couldn't wait.
No, I mean, you didn't hear anything on the radio that he was in Israel or coming around the globe? And
no.
Nothing. You just had an inner unction that the Lord was coming.
Yeah, we just had this real strong feeling that he was coming. And so much so, like a kid running to the Christmas tree on Christmas morning. You know, couldn't wait to see him. So we just took off on foot. We felt we were going to get to him somehow, you know, meet him, cut him off at the pass.
How many people were with you?
Oh, gosh, probably all of 10 or 12 people to start with, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less than that.
Did you recognize who they were?
Just some friends and a couple of people from a little local prayer group, family.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew he was coming from the east, so we started east. I remember it took a few days to make this trip. We didn't know where we were going to meet him. Or in our mind, we thought he was going to come down. Like
you were driving? Or
No, we were still on foot. We thought he was going to come down, you know, like down to us somehow. And even though we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air, I understand that now. But I didn't know anything about it then. We just went over hill and dale. I remember us walking along the sides of highways up through into Oklahoma, just constantly parts of Texas heading from where we are in northern New Mexico, heading east. I remember sleeping in schools on cafeteria tables. We didn't want to eat. We didn't want to sleep. We just were so excited to see the Lord. We just kept on going. I do remember that some in our group, in the group, began to grow probably to 20, 30 people along the way. Some people in the group started looking back. There'd be like a large shopping center or shopping malls or something off to the side. And a few people started looking at, oh, look at the mall. Look at this. Look at that. And we were so caught up in the rest of us and the Lord and him coming back. All we knew was just to keep going, face forward, you know. But the people that started looking to the side and looking back, they left the line. They walked off of the off to the side from where we were going and just walked over and into whatever town it might happen to be. And they went literally to the mall, to the store, wherever. And they left us, turned back, you know.
Wow.
They turned off to the side. And then
did they come back?
No, that was it. I mean, they peeled off, you know, and just left the group. It was like when they took that first look, they were hooked, you know. They just got pulled off.
So I can relate to that.
Yeah, you know, just the money and the world and the trinkets and all that stuff. The excitement, I guess. By that time, after a few days, maybe they got bored. But boy, I tell you, I still couldn't eat, sleep, think, or drink anything but the Lord coming, and most of us couldn't. But the group began to dwindle back down again, and it was interesting that a few people along the way would be at the parking lots or the little towns or whatever, and they'd come across a field or something, across a highway, and literally leave everything and join up with us.
Wow.
Yeah, just a handful of people along the way like that would actually join us.
Maybe that's kind of an allegory for, as we get the word out, more and more and more and more people are responding and waiting for the Lord and repenting and changing their lives.
Well, it'd have to be the Holy Spirit, you know, to pull you out of something like that. And most of these people seem like they were just sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, kind of like I was when I came to the Lord. They were tired of it all, and they knew we were headed for something big. And they left everything, literally just left everything. So we went on and we continued eastward, going through the different states. We had just entered into Missouri. We're going across into Missouri, and we saw this yellow, white, golden light descending. It grew larger and brighter. I mean, we knew it was him. We just couldn't believe it. We were so excited.
What did it look like? Was it a ball of light or a bank of clouds? Or how did it look? It
started out like kind of a ball of light in the clouds, kind of a roundish shape. Coming down, and it was larger and brighter, and it was coming toward us. And I mean, this was within minutes at this point. You know, it had been days, hours, days, and now it was just within minutes. We saw it. We were excited. This light was coming on. It seemed to come on really just slow and gradually. But literally, it was within minutes that we could see Jesus coming on the clouds.
Wow.
Like miles off in the distance, but coming toward us.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we weren't sure, you know. We just didn't care what was going to happen next. All we could see was Jesus. And at some point, we ended up in front of Jesus, you know, whether that's being caught up or whatever. But it was almost like we were, you know, if he's coming on the clouds of heaven, whatever we were standing on seemed pretty solid, because it was like a knoll, like a hill or something. It was a cloud we were on. But a friend of mine, an older man, Joe Graves, who has two daughters that he was separated from for years at that point, and had been praying to be reunited with them. He came up beside me, and just like everyone else, he was enamored by the Lord, and his children, his two daughters, were with him, one on the left, one on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And then his ex-wife was kind of off to the side. And I thought that was kind of peculiar, because she had left him and the church and everything years earlier. But Joe had this anguished feeling in his face. You know, he looked real hopefully at the Lord, and the Lord just shook his head. And he said, "She's not ready. She's just not ready." And he looked kind of sad, but then he was encouraged by the Lord's brightness and beauty, and his girls were with him, and you know, he just walked right on up to the Lord. And it was interesting, because even though we were meeting the Lord, he would address and kind of go around to different people, you know, and welcome each one of them personally. It was really, really neat.
Very personal then. It wasn't just like this huge crowd was being lifted up. It was more like a personal encounter as well.
Yeah. It was like a gathering, you know.
Disarming, real gentle.
Yeah, it was like he was welcoming us. He was, later on, I'll talk about, you know, probably how just his eyes and how kind and how approachable and normal and natural he was, even though he was brilliant and all these other magnificent things. So anyway, Jesus literally brought us up to himself. We thought he was coming down to us, but you know, we realized he had brought us up, and then woke up. And that was that dream. So I had all kinds of questions about, oh my gosh, what's this?
We had some kind of a distant, shadowy knowledge of what the rapture was, though. That we've heard people talk about it, but since the church didn't believe in it and didn't teach it, we didn't take it real seriously.
Well, we just weren't in the circles of people that even, you know, that it was even a part of their reality. So
yeah.
We just didn't know.
So how did you know that it was the Lord, the dream was from the Lord and not just a pizza dream?
I had an inner witness. I just had I woke up and it was, had a profound effect on me. I mean, it was like one of those things where you wake up, but you're still there. And here 4 years, 3 years later, it's just as strong with me, if not stronger today than it was the night I had it.
Wow. Well, I remember you woke up and you told me about the dream, and it just rattled my world. I turned my world upside down, really, and I thought, oh my goodness, if this is the case, because we had both planned on being martyred. We figured we were going to get martyred during the tribulation. We knew that we were coming into that period, but we'd already settled it that we were going to be martyred. And
remember the bye-bye boxes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for our children, two of them knew the Lord and two didn't. But we made, in case they didn't get raptured, we made these big Tupperware boxes with all kinds of materials and notebooks with instructions and gifts and encouragement.
It.
Yeah, you know, I mean, something that we called them the bye-bye boxes.
Yeah.
So we had four bye-bye boxes.
Yeah. What happened? Why did it happen? Where are we? Where is
what's
everybody?
Next? You know, what's next in the world? And I know it struck me, it hit me profoundly because I realized that at any moment there would be a decision whether the Lord would take me as his bride. And first I thought, well, you know, I mean, being missionary, so to speak, and in ministry and serving people and leading a substantial prayer life. I mean, I thought, well, you know, I guess we're going to get raptured, because I remember asking you, honey, was I in the dream?
Yeah.
And you said I was, so I felt better about it. But it did shake me up because I didn't feel real secure about my position of being able to be with the Lord. You know, the scriptures say, you know, Lord, we healed in your name. We did this in your name. We did that in your name. And the Lord said, I never knew you, you know. And so I wanted to be sure that I was in a good place with him, in good standing, and I knew there were some areas where I needed to change. And I think understanding the rapture, knowing that it could happen at any time, it really made me more seriously examine my conscience, examine my life and my behavior, and get more serious about spots, wrinkles, and blemishes, you know,
so
getting them out of my soul.
Oh, wow, cool. I'm just going to get swept up and slick quick and flip, and there I go, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm guaranteed, and it's cool.
Well, and right after that time, right on the heels of that, I remember being in our little chapel, and I was praying, and I remember the scripture that I was given was about the wise virgins, the five virgins. Five were ready and five weren't. And that really, really, really got my attention down deep in my spirit. I just really felt that was addressed to me.
It's interesting that the five that went to get the oil for their lamps and missed it, they showed up the first time. I mean, they were on schedule and on plan.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing the right things, but something changed.
Yeah.
They still weren't ready.
Right. Yeah. That's and I felt that. I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, you've got some work to do.
Yeah. Me too.